Apple, Mercedes, Rolex, you know, they choose silver because it's neutral, it's calm, and it's really, you know, classy and upmarket. And
Silver Circle.
So there you go, exactly. You
sort of just pop that one in there. Apple, Mercedes, Rolex,
Silver Circle.
They're all using that silver thing.
You got it.
This is Super Fast Business with James Schramko. James Schramko. Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schramko here. Welcome back to superfastbusiness.com. Today we're talking about design, so that means I've brought on a design expert. Welcome, Greg Merrilees.
G'day, James. How are you, man?
I'm great. And awesome. You are my design expert. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's good for me as well. I mean, designing for market leaders gives us good exposure, so thanks for being an awesome client.
Well, you've got a website called studio1design.com.
Yep.
And we're going to be talking about design and the process of design, and in particular, why did I change my iTunes logo? That's really the topic. If you've ever seen Zoolander, you're familiar with the blue steel look. Well, we ended up with the orange graphite look, or the orange carbon fiber look. Greg, let's talk about the process of what happened between me deciding that I needed to change the logo to us ending up with a new logo. Are you up for that?
Yeah, sure, man. Yeah.
So the first thing is, when I was looking through the iTunes logos, I noticed that mine is nice and it kind of fits in with my brands. It's got the usual colors like blue and a picture of me and the logo of the business, but it's not standing out. It really is not eye-catching. And originally, when we did that logo, we were just making it consistent with our Facebook banner and our website and just being uniform and consistent. But I had this urge to make it really stand out, because I've noticed that a lot of the top shows have, you know, eye-grabbing podcast logos, and you only get a small bit of real estate and you're in the mix there with hundreds of other podcasts, probably thousands, but let's just limit it to the top 150. And my goal with the podcast is for people to notice my podcast first, because I can't get them subscribed until they notice it. And once they get into it, then I want them to be able to easily recognize it when they're scrolling through their list of podcasts or on their Apple TVs, etc. So the first driver for this was me, in this case the customer, saying, "Greg, I need my podcast logo to stand out." And then let's talk about what flips into your process here, Greg, as the professional designer. What do you do next?
Yeah, look, normally we would have a pretty in-depth questionnaire for this type of thing, especially with a new client. But because I know you and I know your audience and we've designed for you quite a few times in the past, your brief to me was literally that, you know, I need something to stand out. Can you show me some radical ideas? You know, I've got no reference. I just want an eye grabber. So, you know, just based on that, what goes through my mind is, okay, I know James Schramko. He's straight to the point, and I want to design him something that's really unique. And so therefore, I came up with the idea of like a cool hand-painted movie poster type of look. And then I showed you some reference images. You said, yep, like the direction. So,
well, let's talk about that bit. Let's stop there.
Yeah.
Firstly, context and relevance. You know about me. You've been in my community for a while. You're a customer. You're a supplier. You've done ongoing work for me and lots of referrals. So that's the first thing. When you're engaging a designer, it's important that they get you and that they understand. So if there's no survey or questionnaire, then you'd have to be concerned. If you're just popping along to Fiverr and there's no, you know, background checking or contextual checking, you don't know what you're going to get. That's probably step one. And step two is that as the person issuing the design request, when I say, "Greg, I've got nothing in mind. I just want something eye-grabbing," then I have to be careful as a customer not to then be hypercritical when you come back with whatever you come back with, because I imagine that some people who give you an open slather brief because they really trust you, sometimes they're like, "Oh, no, no, not that, not that, not that, not that, not that." And I imagine as a yes. professional designer, that would be infuriating when there's like, "Okay, well, you come up with ideas, but then I want to shut them all down." So would it, in a I guess the short version is, would it be helpful for a designer if someone were able to say what they don't want?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, that's in our questionnaire as well. It's equally as important as finding out what they do want. So we've got a lot of questions on our questionnaire, but yeah, in your case, it was a bit different because we've designed for you in the past.
And I'm just saying that when I commit to that giving an open slather, I've got to be flexible with what comes back, because I'm saying, hey, you know, you're the professional designer. You've got the taste. You understand design palettes and what the market's asking for. With all the jobs you do, I'm not going to tell you how to do your job and end up designing myself something egocentric or sycophantic to my own opinion. I'm going to end up with something that is relevant from a design perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is, you know, it can be quite difficult from a designer's perspective if you don't get anything like any type of reference points. But at the same time, having heard that and knowing you, it can be quite beneficial to not give any reference and trust your designer. And another thing that we didn't even discuss throughout the whole process was the price. So price wasn't a considering factor either. And, you know, just knowing that, I just wanted to give you the best result possible. So I, you know, employed my best illustrator that I knew could do a hand painting of you that just looks fantastic. And, you know, the results are just incredible in my opinion.
Yeah, well, something like a design can be so leveraged. I mean, look, I mean, a wild example, but just talk about just an iPhone, right? A simple device where Steve Jobs forbade the engineers to use a stylus. You know, he wanted one button on it, like one button. Can you believe it? Yeah. And he wanted it to look amazing, and I'm sure he put a lot of effort into it. However, the amount of revenue that can be generated from good design is phenomenal. I know that a great iTunes design can generate me a lot of subscribers, and I also suspect strongly that the algorithm for ranking podcasts has a lot to do with how many new subscribers join a podcast rather than how many people are already listening to it. That's why some podcasts can leapfrog into the marketplace when they have a lot of new people coming to it each week.
That's,
I believe, one of the algorithms. And that's definitely one of the goals. I want more subscribers to my podcast on an ongoing basis. And that's why I needed something eye-catching. I just want to talk about, you came back to me with some ideas. How did you formulate those ideas, and what sort of process are we looking at? I know what I receive, but what's going on your side of it?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess it comes down to the designer, you know, where they would start. And I like to use Pinterest as a starting point. If I'm just trying to think of something fresh, you know, and I don't have anything immediate that comes to mind, I'll just do some research on Pinterest because it's a really good resource for ideas. And then I just surfed around for probably a good half an hour. Couldn't really find anything that I thought would suit, you know, what you're after here. And then I actually took a break, and, you know, I think I went for a walk that day, and on the walk just came up with, you know, what I like. And I always come back to, you know, would I wear that on a t-shirt, for instance? And I probably wouldn't wear this because it's you, but.
Well, come on, mate. I wear your t-shirt.
You did, but didn't have a picture of me on it. But the point is, though, that you want it to be cool, you know. Well, I like to design things that I think look quite cool. And so I just thought of movie posters and Pulp Fiction. You know, you think of the old movie posters for Pulp Fiction, they just look really cool. They're all done by an illustrator or an artist, you know, a painter, and they're not photos. It's a piece of artwork. So I figured that's the only way I'm going to be able to provide something that's completely unique is to, you know, hire one of my really talented illustrators to come up with a piece of artwork as opposed to a photo.
So within your design business, you have different suppliers who can come on contract and supply things as you need them. Yep. Because you're looking for that particular style or look.
Yep.
So if you like, you're kind of a design aggregator and curator. You know what's around, you know who supplies it. And you save someone like me having to try and go and find, you know, firstly, think about what look would I want, and secondly, you know, where would I find someone to supply that?
Yeah.
You're just like an in-house, you know, one-stop, like a travel agent, I suppose. Just deal with one person who gets it, and then you do all the legwork between the different suppliers and contractors, and you manage all of that yourself.
Yeah, pretty much. Yep, absolutely. So, yeah, we do have some talent on our team. And, you know, I hire based on talent and for various reasons, like majority of what we do is website design. But, yeah, there's a huge need for illustration and this style of digital painting. So, yeah, I've got a variety of people that can help.
Yeah, so you presented me with a few options and I gave you some feedback based on those. What did I say? I can't really remember.
Well, yes, you said my T-shirt's on sideways and I look Chinese. So,
oh, well, that was kind of like the first draft of the actual end product, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It was,
so you, the first one you gave me, I like the look of, I like where you're going with this. Sounds great.
Yeah.
Go for it. You signaled to me that there'll be some sort of specialist involved that might make it more expensive than a different type of design. And I said, that's fine. And you presented me with the first version. And yeah, I only had some limited feedback. Now, rather than go to my market, which I see a lot of people do, but I really think that this is just a marketing ploy. When people go, what do you think of my new logo?
Yeah, I find that annoying.
You're going to get 1,000 people saying, oh, this or that, or I could recommend you a different designer. Or
yes.
You'll never make a great design by committee.
Yeah, oh, so true.
And really often the last people that I'm going to be asking, with the greatest amount of respect, are, you know, people on Facebook who you know, they're not really scored in any particular way. I might ask my very best 10 customers because they whatever they feel might be important. Probably not going to ask family and friends because they're not really in the market.
Mm-hmm.
The ultimate thing I want to ask is the iTunes marketplace chart. I want to put something there and see if people vote for it by subscribing. That's the ultimate thing. It's like a sales offer. The ultimate vote is when the customer opens their wallet.
With their wallet. So, yeah, exactly.
I don't really listen to too much feedback in the process. I did post it to my team because like you. They know me. They know what we do and what we don't do, and they know our customers back to front. And also, I don't bias them with my thoughts. I just post it and say, what do you think about this?
What do you think? Yeah.
And they were the ones that said, the T-shirt looks crooked.
Okay.
And you look a bit Chinese. They said, hey, look, from a Game of Thrones perspective, you're a White Walker standing behind the Mother of Dragons fires. And, you know, Game of Thrones is so popular. Why wouldn't you tap into that?
Yeah, nice.
And they talk about the artistic perspective. You know, there's light coming from the back and there's light coming from the right side and blue light to the left. The skin is glowing. The shadows seem a bit unusual. I like the background color. Can I have a copy of that in 1080p, please? From one of my in-team designers, you know. And from an advertising perspective, they said the fiery background is eye-catching and the strange shadows are precisely what makes me look more at it.
Yeah, I was going to say, what I tried to create there was a bit of intrigue because if you do look in iTunes and you just see these tiny little squares with graphics or, you know, images on there for each podcast that's out there, with yours, it's quite symbolic and quite simple in its approach where it's literally an orange background with a silhouette of a person, but you can't really tell who that person is until you really zoom in. So just, yeah, I wanted to create a little bit of intrigue and that's what we've done.
And someone said the squint doesn't translate well. Looks makes you look sort of evil. I think it was copied from a picture of the beach where you were squinting.
It was.
They have requested a more natural thing. So in any case, I only went back to you and I think I just said, hey, my T-shirt's crooked and I look a bit Chinese. And no offense to anyone who's Chinese, but I'm not Chinese. I'm, you know, 100% Caucasian. So I just want to look like me, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And we made those slight adjustments and just put it out there. You know, no survey from the clients, nothing. And then we put it to the customers on Facebook. And what sort of feedback did we get there, Greg?
Oh, mate, they're awesome. I loved hearing that feedback. Things like, you know, you look like a superhero, bad boy. That Zoolander is so hot right now. I think that was Ryan Levesque. And then Ezra said terrifying and awesome at the same time. And there's been a heap of new comments since. I think you've had about 30 comments.
Yeah, a lot of superheroes and images and Instagrammy and when's the super suit going to come? And that's great. I mean, we've got super fast business. I guess I could be a superhero of my brand, but still the logo is very prominent the way it stands out on the black coloured T-shirt, and my name is there because I'm still driving this show, and it's been well received. Now what I need to do is measure what change we get in ranking,
and
how many new subscribers we attract to the show, because that's that, you know, it doesn't mean that it's going to be permanent. It just means that that's, I think my starting theory is that it's better than the old logo. And then I posted it inside my own community and, you know, shared the before and after with them so that I can, you know, garner feedback from my very best customers, the ones who actually pay and, you know, turn up every day. So that was, you know, important to get feedback there, and haven't really had much reaction. So there's nothing negative there or whatever. And now what we're doing is make a podcast about it, and we'll put the before and after on this post, which will be called Should You Change Your Logo? And we'll take comments and feedback on there too. We'll see if we get any new things about it there.
Yeah, that'd be cool, man.
So from the design perspective, what happens when I push it out there into the market? Do you get nervous, or do you intrigued as to what happens, or you're on to the next job?
Just onto the next job. But I'm quite proud of this one. Because it is a piece of artwork as opposed to just a graphic. You know, it's quite unique, and yeah, very proud of it. So a bit nervous about the comments, you know, but so far so good.
Now, as a designer, if we're listening to this and we think, our logo's a bit shit, might need to freshen it up, what sort of things should someone think about that they're going to have to talk to you or their designer about to get a feel for what they actually want? How do they start tuning their brief, so to speak? What are a couple of the key questions?
Yeah, a couple of key questions, really. You know, what is the purpose of the logo? Like, is it for a business or a product brand, or, you know, podcast, for instance? Is it a sub-brand under an umbrella brand, or, you know, how's it going to be used, like website, stationery, signage, et cetera? But really, you know, the designer should dig deeper and ask questions like, you know, what does the brand represent? Like, for instance, is it modern or classic? Is it cool or corporate? You know, playful or serious? And, you know, if you're selling products or services, are they cheap or expensive products or services? Because the logo needs to reflect all those things. And even, you know, asking the client what kind of look and feel they like, you know, do they like simple or complex, or single color or multicolor, photographic or illustrated, for instance? And we also like to know if they have any images or any type of reference point, and what they don't like, of course.
Nice. So look and feel, there's different choices there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, yeah, really, it's, I mean, there's a whole range of different looks. Even if you're just talking graphics and, you know, not painting or whatever, you can have a flat kind of look, which I think, you know, we discussed on our last podcast. It's more just a flat color kind of look, which is quite a modern feel today. But you want to be careful that you don't design something that's too modern, because it may date, it might be stuck in this particular time frame. But you want to also think of your logo for maybe a 3 to 5 year period, and even beyond, if you like. But you also, you know, think about like what's important for your brand, and, you know, it really needs to appeal to your target market. So to me, I don't like to do anything that's too cliche. Like, for instance, you know, hairdressers use scissors in their logos, or plumbers use pipes, and, you know, dentists use teeth, etc. But what we try to do instead, which is pretty much what you've done with your Superfast Business logo, is to use an icon that's more symbolic of your business. Like, you know, yours is an arrow that symbolizes upward growth. You know, Nike, they use a swoosh icon, which is kind of like a tick, like an achievement. Mercedes, whatever, use the three-pointed star, which I think from memory when they first designed that was to symbolize, you know, motorizing the air, the land and the sea. Is that right, James?
That's correct, Greg.
There you go.
Cool. Well done. Good history knowledge.
Excellent. So, yeah, we just try to be, you know, a little bit more abstract, if you like, and not too cliche or obvious.
Yeah, that's very helpful. Okay, so it's really making sure that you pick a style. I mean, we used to use a lot of cartoons in our business, but then we kind of grew up a bit, matured into more. So the current logo is more representative. What we do is like a photorealistic sketch type thing.
Yeah, cool.
So it fits in with what we do. I guess you also got to make sure you're attracting the right type of audience. So it seems like I've attracted people who don't mind a sort of superhero or a bit of edgy, you know, lurky, danger, fun, curiosity type image.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, you help businesses, but businesses are real people, and you know, they want something. I mean, they find things appealing that are cool and edgy, and you know, that's how they want to be represented as well.
And how did we end up with orange? I mean, I know there's a lot of color psychology with brands.
Yeah, there is indeed. I think, you know, if you look at the bigger brands in the world, there are some colors that they choose because it reflects or represents their brand in a certain way. Like Cadbury and Hallmark choose purple. That's because it represents luxury and sophistication. Coke and Ferrari choose red because it symbolizes energy, you know, courage and strength. Facebook, American Express choose blue because it's trustworthy. Greenpeace, BP, they use green because it's a natural, earthy, friendly kind of color. Apple, Mercedes, Rolex, you know, they choose silver because it's neutral, it's calm, and it's really, you know, classy and upmarket. And
Silver Circle.
So there you go, exactly.
You just pop that one in there. Apple, Mercedes, Rolex,
Silver Circle.
They're all using that silver thing.
You got it. And, you know, notice that they're all a limited color palette. So it's more memorable if it's limited as opposed to being multi colors, in my opinion.
Right. So orange is kind of very vibrant.
Yeah, orange is really fiery and also a sense of fun, like Fanta use orange and Nickelodeon use orange, you know. But in a sea of iTunes images, orange tends to stand out. Until now that we've done this podcast, everyone will have orange, so it won't stand out anymore.
Well, look, in fairness, I think there are a couple of other podcasters who have orange logos and, you know, well, I don't think we're saying we're the first.
No, not at all.
However, I didn't come to you and say, Greg, make me a copy of such and such, or
no,
I want an orange logo. My brief was, I want to stand out.
Exactly.
And so orange is, I think orange and bright yellow are the two most standing out colors to the eye spectrum, whereas the one that stands out the least
blue.
Is like blue, yeah. Green, and gray.
Absolutely.
Why those colored cars have more accidents.
Yeah.
Because you don't notice them.
They blend into the natural environment. Yeah, the sky, the ground, you know, gray cloud even.
How will we know when it's time to change it again?
I personally think it's good to change a logo when you're sick of looking at it. I wouldn't do it too soon, but, you know, I would say 3 to 5 years is a good time frame.
Right. Well, that's good to know. Yeah, I was enjoying the last one, but it's just too bland now. And I think my whole brand is getting really clear when I've, you know, I've really reduced my business focus point to just super fast business and Silver Circle. So I'm getting a lot more cut through on, you know, I'm focusing on each component. And the iTunes is still a huge long-term play. That's a great marketing channel for my business. And I'm backing it, and I'm going to be creating great content. I mean, aside from this amazing show, you know, there'll be more coming, and I think it's important. So let's just talk about what should we do. We've been listening to this now. We've got an idea that we might want to change our logo. What's the next step?
Yeah, so first just review your brand's logo and ask yourself, is it a visual representation of everything that your brand stands for? And don't skimp on this identity piece. Remember that a good logo should last around 3 to 5 years, in my opinion. And if you think about over a five-year period, what the cost of that logo actually works out to be, you know, per year, it's not very much. So I'm just thinking, I want to let people know not to skimp and sort of select or choose the cheapest designer they can find. You know, invest in it because it's more a long-term investment.
Sweet. Greg, where can someone go get a logo from you?
You can go to studio1design.com.
Yeah, let them know James sent you. Greg is the best. He's amazing. I highly recommend him. He's responsible for our top-level design stuff and the person who I refer to anyone saying, hey, I want a professional design.
Thanks, man.
Remember, design is such an important element to usability and being memorable. Great example, actually. Someone recently referred me to a friend of theirs who was interested in hooking up, and they had a particular brand of a product. And I went along to their site and I had a look at it, and it was kind of fairly bland and generic. And I looked around for a while, and it's in a topic that I'm really, you know, absolutely fascinated with and have a deep knowledge of. And then, like, 15 minutes later, I couldn't even remember the name of the product. There was just nothing compelling or attractive or interesting about the name of the brand or the way that it was presented that hooked me.
Mm.
And that I thought was, you know, that's a great example of why it's time to step up and build a bigger brand around yourself. And the other thing that I've learned, of course, recently is you can actually sell a business that has a strong brand. For example, SEOpartner.com it was such a great, strong brand for that service business that I ran for 7 years, maybe 8 years. And it became saleable because it became known as something substantial beyond just me. So
I love that.
Build your brand. Yep. It's worth it. And you know, Greg, remember one of our first conversations when you came on board for coaching? I was really fussy about your domain name.
You were indeed. Yeah, we changed that real quick.
It made a difference?
It did indeed, yeah. Well, we got rid of the hyphens, we went .com and you know, I mean, we cost a fair bit, but we negotiated down from a fair bit more. And yeah, it's turned my brand from a local brand into a global brand. So it's been incredibly good for business.
And it's been years now. And that's the thing you emphasize. Design is not a pop a job on Fiverr this week or go along to an iStock photo and grab a picture and stick some words over the top. It's not that level anymore. You've got to play a bigger game and a longer game. And I think it's something you really should invest in because I've been the beneficiary of having a better brand. And Greg, you've been instrumental in helping me. So thanks so much.
It's a pleasure. And just finally, I just want to say, don't let design be the reason that people don't take you seriously. If you've got an awesome product or service, you know, design needs to reflect that.
It really is. It's people buy the cover, not the book.
Yep.
So that's how they sell books on Amazon predominantly. It's like that front cover. It's so important. And you can put a good front cover on your podcast or your website or t-shirts if you're making those. And Greg can help you with all of that. Thanks so much, Greg.
Thank you, James. Appreciate it.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.